Hey, all Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at patreon.com/ScottWhartonShow, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/ScottWhartonShow. And thanks, y'all. Okay, guys, Scott Horton Show. I'm him, Scott Horton. Check out the website and the archives at scotthorton.org. Sign up for the podcast feed there as well. And follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Okay, introducing Nasser Arabi. He's a reporter, lives in Sana'a, Yemen. And you can follow him at N Arabi. That's two R's and two E's at the end. N-A-R-R-A-B-Y-E-E on Twitter. And he's written for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and he has his own news organization in Yemen called Yemen Now, Yemen Alon. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Nasser? Good to talk to you.
Fine, thank you very much, Scott.
Good. Very happy to have you here. And basically, sir, just the floor is yours to let the people know the bad news. What is the current state of America and Saudi Arabia's war against Yemen?
The situation is getting worse now, especially after the after John Kerry visited Saudi Arabia and gave them all the political cover and all the protection against any responsibility and against any accountability, unfortunately. So Saudis now are more crazy to kill and to destroy because Kerry, unfortunately, said he would protect Saudis and he would protect the Saudi citizens because there are some attacks in the south. So Kerry did not mention the one year and a half of war crimes in Yemen. Unfortunately, he just said that there are some people being killed in the south of Saudi Arabia from Yemenis who defend themselves against U.S.-backed Saudi war crimes. So I think it's a turning point now, to be or not to be. Yemenis are still defending themselves, and today they missiled, or they started a new system of missiles, ballistic missiles, Burkan 1, that is a volcano, and they fired it to a Taif close to Mecca, and they are ready to defend themselves in any way. Yemenis are with peace, but they are defending themselves. Unfortunately, Kerry and Obama are blind, still blind, and they blindly supporting Saudi Arabia crimes. And it is very dangerous to the security and the stability of the world if United States does not revise the situation and does not revise its position towards Yemenis. It's very dangerous.
Okay, now, I just want to make sure I heard you right when you were saying that the Yemeni forces, the Houthi forces, are fighting back and in Saudi Arabia. Did you say that they had even gotten near Mecca?
Taif. Taif is close to Mecca. It's from the south, you have the south, and you have Taif, and you have Mecca. So today, they fired a ballistic missile, mm-hmm. Which is Scud, but Yemeni modified. It's about 800 kilometers ring and eight tons. And so this is something very new and very surprised for the Saudis and for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Where Yemenis did they get them?
They modified Scud, Russian Scud, very old Scud, and they modified them, and they developed them.
Mm-hmm. From the previous Saleh government's military arsenal.
Yes. Uh-huh. They have many, but this is the most powerful one. The one of today is the most powerful missile.
Hmm. And now they've already, I know that there's a town that's just on the other side of the border from Yemen. Is that the one that you're talking about here?
No, that is Najran. Najran is almost surrounded from east and west and south. It is almost surrounded now. They overlook it, and they can fire with anything to Najran now, not with the Kalashnikovs, with any everybody. If you see Al Masira or if you see Yemeni's TV, you will see. And this is why the Saudis blocked the Al Masira and Yemen TVs last week because of these things. Now, I'm talking about the 800 from the borders. Najran is they are close. They are 2 to 8 or 2 to 10 kilometers at most from it.
And so, well, I mean, clearly the war is backfiring on the Saudis in that way. If the Yemenis are really Yemeni forces are making headway inside. They have this one city under siege, and you're saying that they're now shelling and firing rockets at the other. But so, are the Saudis attacking the Yemeni forces' positions in Saudi?
Let me finish. Because of this development, Saudis or US-backed fighters or jets keep hovering and striking in Sana'a and everywhere all the time. They strike everything now. They strike houses, factories, schools, mosques, and everything. They strike the hit thing every time now. This is the war. Yemenis will not stop because they are defending themselves. And unfortunately, this is because of the new announcement, American announcement of war against Yemen. Kerry came to Jeddah and made also foolish things and very dangerous things to Yemen because he protected or he biased clearly with the Saudis, and he didn't say anything. He said he had an initiative, but unfortunately he didn't say he would stop the air strikes. Anyone who wants to make initiative or peace, he should stop the air strikes, the blockade. This is the most important thing, because if you stop the airstrikes, then Houthis and Yemenis would not do anything, because they don't have, they have only the weapons that they can defend themselves. So you stop the airstrikes, and then you can do whatever you want. But he didn't say anything. He just came to say he's concerned and worried about Saudis. But he's not worried about more than 50,000 Yemenis who were killed, and the infrastructure of a country of 30 million Yemenis. He didn't say anything about this.
Yeah, now Kerry's statement obviously was just, more carte blanche for the Saudis to keep doing what they're doing. Has there been any kind of, growth or diminishment in the amount of airstrikes? Is it pretty constant every day? Or kind of random, how many airstrikes are we talking? Are they all mostly centered on Sana'a?
Scott, we are talking about 200 airstrikes a day, at least.
200 a day?
Yes, I'm talking now, I don't want to exaggerate. If I want to talk about the things I am hearing, mm-hmm. I would say about 50 here in Sana'a, the airstrikes I am hearing.
50 a day in the capital city.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I'm sorry, I remember where we left off when the phone cut out. It was about, you said 30,000 had died, and I wonder if you could back that up, because, of course, the UN says it's only 10.
It's not 30,000, it's 50,000.
Oh, 50,
now, the UN now raised the number. Yesterday, I was in a conference with the UN chief here in Sana'a. Uh-huh. He raised the number to 10,000 killed and 32,000 injured. We are talking about civilians now.
Right.
More of half of them are women and children. So I'm talking about more than this. I'm talking about 60,000. Because now from the day when Kerry came to Jeddah to today, we have about 5,000 people who were killed in their houses, hospitals, schools, and farms. And so they kill people. They want Yemenis to surrender this way. By bombing, not by anything else. They say, why you are defending yourself in there? And they want to. They couldn't prevent Yemenis only from the air and from the water. I mean, from the water of the rain, and from the sun, the light of the sun, and from the mountains. We have a powerful weapon, which is the mountains. So Saudi Arabia would not be able to prevent Yemenis from these things. But Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, with the American support, they tried to prevent or to deprive Yemenis from everything now. With the American support, unfortunately, with Obama and Kerry support.
Okay, now, so... tell me something. I mean, there is an army that Saleh has, the Houthi army, combined with much of the old Yemeni army, if not most or all of it now at this point. I don't know who's fighting for Hadi. But so are the Saudis, are you telling me they're just bombing civilians, or civilians are getting killed too in their war against Houthi army?
The thing that we want that world outside Yemen to understand is that Saudis, unfortunately, could not kill the soldiers, could not kill the Yemeni fighters, cannot kill the Yemeni fighters at all. Except, you know, the random things and this and this. But the people who fight in the south of Saudi Arabia, they are, you know, they storm the Saudi positions and towns and villages between 10 to 15 only, between 10 to 15. And even the Abati couldn't do anything because there are mountains, there are trees, there are, so they just do the whatever they want, and they hide there, or and we see, because there are reporters from there, Yemeni reporters from there, with war reporters, and we see, and the world also see, not only Yemenis, and this is why Saudi Arabia come and kill the people randomly. They come to Sana'a and kill every time. Any operation implemented there in the south, they just come and kill anyone here, in a hospital or in a school or in a house, or every day, family, whole families, they just bomb a house and go. This is what they do.
Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself, WallStreetWindow.com.
So, Nasser, tell me about the war down near Aden, because that's where the Saudi forces and the UAE mercenaries and whoever have a little bit of a beachhead there, trying to reinstall Hadi in power, right?
You mean in the south of Yemen?
Yes, down at the port city of Aden.
Yes, that's okay. What's happening there in Aden and in the south in general is Qaeda, ISIS, is expanding greatly now. It's not right that they liberated Mukallas and Jar and these cities in the south from Al-Qaeda. Actually, Al-Qaeda is more powerful than 5 months ago. The evidence for this is what happened last week Qaeda suicide bomber drove his car to a school where there were 500 at least recruits and killed about 200 of them, which is the most powerful bombing I think in 5 years in Yemen, not only in the south, to kill 200 in the same place recruits. I mean by recruits, jobless young people who were hired, who were told, unfortunately, by some warlord to come to be recruited for fighting with Saudi Arabia in Najran, in the south. This is something that is very dangerous. And the Qaeda ISIS came and killed 200. So Saudi Arabia now is hiring jobless people, young people from the south to protect it. This is why John Kerry, the foreign minister of the United States, came to Jeddah and said he would protect Saudi from Yemenis who only defend themselves from 18 months of war crimes. So what is happening in the south is Qaeda ISIS is winning. Qaeda ISIS is getting more powerful and more powerful. It is now in the city of Aden, doing whatever they want and hit whenever they want and wherever they want. And not only this, but they are also deeply rooted in the society, in the educational system and in the social system. This is because of what Kerry and Obama is doing. This is because what is Obama and Kerry is doing in their with their support to Saudi Arabia, unfortunately.
All right, now, I'm sure you're aware that Amnesty International has said that both sides are guilty of war crimes here. What do you know about that? Are the Houthis killing civilians?
I'm not now denying anything. I'm only Yemeni. I'm very angry for my country, but no problem. What we want is international investigation, but the world, the free people in America must know that Saudi Arabia has stopped the international inquiry, the international investigation, about 100 times now. So why Saudi Arabia is stopping the international demand for international investigation about the war crime? Saudi Arabia, with its money and with the American support, they don't want any international investigation at all. This is not what I am saying, but this is what the world rights groups say, including Amnesty International, Human Rights, and the High Commissioner for Human Rights of UN, only last week.
Okay, so yeah, and that's important to note, Nasser, for the audience to note that you are a real journalist here, and it's your country being attacked, but you're specifically not disputing that the Houthi side may have killed civilians as well. You're just saying, hey, let's have some peace so we can have some international investigations of war crimes committed by anyone who may have committed them. Am I hearing you right?
Yes. This is the international demand, and this is the Yemeni demand, but Saudi refused this. Saudi refused this in front of the world. Saudi refused this every time. And you can refer to the international report, what they say, and what the High Commissioner for Human Rights said only last week.
Right. All right, now, so is there any kind of peace on the horizon? There were some talks. Is anybody talking now?
There will be no peace in Yemen until U.S., until Obama wants this peace to be. It was, the war was a will of Obama, and the peace will be a will of Obama, unfortunately. The war in Yemen was a will of Obama. Obama wanted this war in Yemen to placate the Saudis after he made the nuclear deal with Iran. Now, if Obama wants a peace, it would be in minutes. Otherwise, there will be no peace. And it will be dangerous to Obama and to everyone in the region and the world.
Yep, no question about that. All right, well, good luck to you out there, Nasser. Stay safe. And once again, sorry on behalf of the many Americans who do know and care about this war for what the rest of us are doing to you there.
Thank you very much. I wanted to tell you about the political development. But
oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
The political development is very important. This is why U.S. and United and Saudi are very angry, and why they are why they resumed this war. This crazy. Yemen is now united. The most powerful two forces in Yemen, Houthi and Saleh, they are the major forces in the south and in the north. They united themselves under one ruling council, Supreme Council. This Supreme Council is now forming a government which will gain recognition from many countries outside Yemen. And this happened only last week. The parliament ratified this ruling council with constitutional quorum. I'm saying with constitutional quorum because Saudi Arabia is saying there was no quorum. But there was constitutional quorum by name. Five MPs more than that constitutional quorum. This Supreme Council now, this ruling council, is forming a government. And there were a million-man demonstration to support this on August 20th. And the United States supported Saudis to come to airstrike the demonstrators in an unprecedented over the history. They missiled 24 missiles over Sana'a. During this huge demonstration, that was like a referendum, like to support the ruling council, and they fired four missiles directly to the place of the square of the demonstration, killing four. We know them by name, and all the social media painstakingly documented all these things. And everybody now knows the names of the demonstrators who were killed. Four killed and 10 injured by F-16 while they were peacefully demonstrating. So this is something that destroys the values of the world. But Obama wants this to happen. So Yemenis now have their own state, their constitutional president now, not militia. They have a constitutional president and a vice president from the south and constitutional president from the north and 8 other members. It's a rolling council. So now this government that is being formed by this rolling council will be the main task of this government will be to fight U.S.-backed Saudi aggression and to prepare for elections. So what legitimacy Kerry is talking about? What legitimacy they are talking about? Kerry came to Jeddah to say it's a minority. So he's talking about minority because Saudis told Kerry that it's a minority. But I want anyone in United States to tell Kerry what minority is this. I want him just to see one picture of the people who came from the 22 provinces of Yemen, south and north, to say yes for the ruling council, no for the war, nor for the aggression. So this is a very important thing, and I wanted to tell you about. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. If you have a question, I would answer also.
Sure. Well, I mean, I would just add here that people got to remember if or take note if they didn't already know that in 2012, America held a fake Soviet-style election with one man, Hadi, on the ballot. Literally, you can just put in a Yemen election in Google Images, and you can see the ballot with one man, one name, and one place to put your check mark. And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton hailed this as democracy and this as popular sovereignty in Yemen. And so,
and I would add one more thing. The millions who voted for Hadi in 2012 came on August 20, the same people, and said, okay, now we don't want you. And the parliament where you took the constitutional oath, Hadi, also held a constitutional ceremony, for the oath in the same place of Hadi for the new president, for the new constitutional president. And they said, we don't want Hadi. Hadi came here to swear, and now there was another one to swear. So we are taking the same steps that the world wants us to do, not only people in the street. We are now taking the steps that the world understands. But also Kerry didn't want it. Kerry was still blind with the Saudi money, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks very much for coming back on the show to talk about this with us, Nasser. And again, sorry for my country bombing yours.
So I would tell you something if you want to call me anytime. You can write the question, and then if something like today happens, and I will read them one by one to help you. No problem at all, because I am very happy you are doing this. You are helping us. We want to tell as much as possible of people in the world. Mm-hmm. What is happening, what Kerry and Obama is doing against the stability and security of the world.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't mind calling you back 10 times if I have to. Nobody's going to stop me from interviewing you if you're still there to answer on the other end. So we'll definitely keep doing it and keep talking about this as best I can.
Thank you very much. And please send me the link or the tweet. If you do it.
Absolutely will. All right. Thank you again,
Thank you.
Nasser. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
Okay, well, that is Nasser Arabi. He runs a media group called Yemen Now online there. And he's also at the Carnegie Endowment and a few other places. You should put his name in Google News. It's Arabyee. And he's got quite a few interesting things for you there. All right, so sorry that the interview is a bit disjointed there. You can probably tell it's edited because there are major phone problems. Every time he stops talking, then he can't hear me anymore and gets cut off, and I got to call him back and whatever. It's a hassle. But it's worth it because, you know, it's an interview about an important thing. ScottHorton.org for all the archives. Follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Oh, yeah, and help support. I still got a few left here. Anybody donates $50 or more, you get a copy of the brand-new Murray Rothbard book. Yeah, brand-new Murray Rothbard book, even though he died in 1995, because it's long-lost essays, never published before, from 1967 and 68, and all kinds of good stuff on Vietnam and civil rights and LBJ and all kinds of cool stuff. So check that out at scotthorton.org/donate. It's called Never a Dull Moment. Oh, no. Yeah. A Libertarian Looks at the 60s. Never a Dull Moment. A Libertarian Looks at the 60s. All right. Thanks, y'all. See ya.
Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.
Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org.